Let's give him praise this morning. Come on. Hallelujah. Our God is good, and his mercy endures forever. Lord, we give you praise. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For you are worthy, O God. Worthy, O God. Worthy of all praise. Worthy of all honor. Worthy of all glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise and honor. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Before you sit down, hug someone, high five someone, knee five someone, elbow five someone, whatever you want to do. Yeah. Thank you, music team. Powerful. Hallelujah. Ooh. My brother. Beautiful. Bless you all. Hallelujah. Bless y'all. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. Welcome to Living Light Gospel Church. And if you're visiting us this morning, we want to say welcome. Raise your hands or wave to me and praise the Lord, my brother and my family at the back there. Give him a wonderful Living Light welcome this morning. Hallelujah. Make sure you see someone, all of you who are part of the furniture in this church, when you see somebody new, go up and shake their hands and hug them. And, you know, we're a family in God. This is about the kingdom of God. Amen? No one is a stranger in this church or in this building. Everybody is a family to God. Hallelujah. You had a good week? Doesn't sound very convincing there. You should be saying, yes, Pastor, I had a great week. I know the truth, and the truth has set me free. Hallelujah. Well, I haven't stopped going on this now. This is my part three of the truth. So we're going to go through that. And I want you to listen with ears to understand. Amen? Yeah. And allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. I will use a few illustrations this morning, but I wanted to bring a point across. The reason why I use illustrations is to bring across points that, just as Jesus used parables in the Bible, I like to use little things like that to be able to bring the point across to you. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we honor you and we thank you. Lord, we already know that you are present in us by your Spirit. But Lord, we thank you for the power, the anointing of God, to be able to speak truth, to be able to say things and not be fearful of men. We thank you that our people will understand that, and they themselves too will become truth, that they can speak truth without fear of men. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Let us become a church. I pray that we become a church that you yourself built. Hallelujah. When you said, I will build my church, and no gates of hell shall prevail against it. Father, we stand on that place. And Lord, we give ourselves openly to you, that you lead us by your Spirit. Nothing else but by your Spirit. Our knowledge and understanding, our own preconceived ideas about the Bible, Lord, we lay it aside and ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us, to lead us and guide us humbly. I pray this morning that you hide me as you've always hidden me. Lord, in your wings that no one can see me. But they hear your voice and they hear your word. That's all. Father, I'm just another catalyst, oh God. Just a voice to speak your word today. And I thank you that you have given me the opportunity to be able to do that. I pray now that you watch over your word to fulfill it in our lives. For your word is everlasting to everlasting. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will last forever. Hallelujah. Lord, you said also that you have placed your word above all your name. That means all the things that you've done, your glory, everything that we've seen, your power, you've placed your word above all that. That's why your word is powerful. That's why your word is life, everlasting and everlasting. We give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people agreed and said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I want to start by saying, bringing a few points across to you. And I want to say this. There are two most important prerequisites of a victorious kingdom living. especially in this time of great falling away that we are living in now, the times that are like in the days of Noah, the Bible says. You watch the news, you see all these things are happening. My sister sent me something in the morning. Oh, did you see that? Did you see that? And I said, yeah, I already knew about that. It's already been prophesied in this book. We know where we came from. We know why we are in Christ. And we know where we're going. We know the end of the story. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why we don't panic. We don't get all uptight about things. And we go into our prayer room and we pray and we watch. Amen. Hallelujah. The two things are, one, vision. We have to have vision. And number two, we have to have passion. We cannot live the kingdom life without passion in God. Amen? No matter where you are, wherever you're working, in the industry of wherever that is that you're working, your skills, wherever you are, you must have vision and you must have passion. Both are born and maintained in a place of prayer. Amen? Doesn't happen just because you just have a vision. Prayer is the foundation of everything that God gives us. What does prerequisite means? It means something that must exist or happen before something else can exist or happen. Amen? That's why prayer is very important for us. If the thief can kill, come and steal and kill and destroy your vision and passion, then he has got you beat. Amen. If the thief can do that, that's all he does. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says the thief, devil comes only to what? To kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have what? Life, and life everlasting. Hallelujah. God is preparing his church for this one assault before the coming of the Lord. I believe that. I see it, and I sense it in my spirit. Hallelujah. Preparation for the greatest revival that will assure in the coming and the return of Jesus Christ. We the church, must be ready. Hallelujah. Heaven has prepared for this. Heaven has prepared for this in the beginning of time. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we also must prepare for this. We who are called by his name. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15. It says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Amen. Redeeming time. That means capitalize on every appropriate opportunity. Yes, opportunity to pray, read the word, stop wasting time on wrong things. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Hanging around with the wrong people, change your friends. If your friends are getting you nowhere, change them. You have a power to make new friends. Hallelujah. I mean that. Even your family. Oh, hello, somebody. Yeah. Yeah. Stop wasting time on wrong things, hanging around with the wrong people, hanging around with the time wasters, hanging around with people who talk too much and do nothing. Hello, somebody. Yes. Why? Because the days are evil, the Bible says in verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of God or will of the Lord is. Church, we must understand one thing, and that is God works according to seasons and time. The window of opportunity comes only once in a season. Therefore, we must prepare. Why? Because the preparation is, I call it, the greatest act of faith. When you prepare for something, you know something is coming. That is the greatest act of faith. You can plan, you can have a vision, but if you don't prepare for it, then you don't believe that vision. See, I have a vision that only I and God believe in. Hallelujah. Same as you. You may not believe in my vision, but God believes in my vision. So as long as God believes in my vision, I'm happy. So prepare for something that is coming. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 says, not by might or human strength or an army, not by power, that's your wealth, your position, your knowledge, not by all that, but by the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. When Jesus sent his disciples to go and wait, he says, you've spent 3.5 years with me. Knowledge is great. Understanding is great. Wisdom is great. But he said, you can't do that until you receive power from high above. Power will bring out everything. You may go and preach the wrong thing if you don't have the Holy Spirit. So go and wait until I send the helper. Hallelujah. And we need the Holy Spirit today. We need the Holy Spirit power to move the church. What God began in the Spirit cannot be finished in flesh. We must understand that. It has to be finished in the Spirit. Everything that God created and started in the Spirit has to be completed in the Spirit. The problem is this. Our attitude to lack of prayer, tells God that he started this, what he started in the spirit, we can finish in flesh. If you're a person that doesn't pray, you are telling God, I know to do all this without help. Hello, somebody. Don't go quiet on me. It's really important for us to understand that. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. I believe that what we touch in the place of prayer, it will send signals out like in the days of Nehemiah. God will send the right people in, the people that are needed and called to finish the work for his kingdom. He says he will finish the good work that he has started. He means that. And so when we go into a place of prayer, it becomes like the days of Nehemiah, when Nehemiah cried out to God and God started to bring the people in. God will give us the grace to accomplish his will. If he can find anyone, my friends, anyone that is available for him to use, he can change a city. Like he did with the woman at the well. God found him, found her at the well, and revealed truth to her. And the Bible says when she went out, the whole city of Samaria came to Christ. Why? Because she heard from the well of truth. She was set free, so did the whole city, because truth was revealed to her, and then she went and revealed truth. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost works on truth. I believe an army will be raising from the word of the Spirit. Let us be prepared to take on God's word. Yes, amen. Take on God's word and believe. I said, take on the challenge of John chapter 7, verse 17. It says, if anyone desires to do his will, he will know whether my teaching is from God or whether I speak on my own. See, the word of God comes with power. God doesn't just speak. It comes with power when you speak. You didn't come to Christ because somebody preached a very nice message or some very well-spoken pastor or preacher preached. The power of the word, whether he was poor or rich or well-dressed or not dressed or whatever it is, the word that came was power accompanied by the Holy Ghost. Transform you and I. You are sitting in this room today because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the kingdom of God is not about pretending or just being part of something. You got to live it. You got to be true to yourself. My prayer is, God, let us be true to our worship, our walk, and everything that we do. Let us not pretend to be Christians. Kingdom of God is not about pretending. Hallelujah. That's why we have to preach the truth. And when you preach truth, the power comes with truth to be able to transform people. He says his teachings and his word are not just words, but power to transform lives. His word is backed up by the power of God above, which is the Holy Spirit. I came to Christ when somebody spoke a powerful message and it was accompanied by the power of the Holy Ghost. It transformed my life forever. It was like my chains was like Paul when he met Jesus at the road to Damascus. That was my chains. And I know some of you have got amazing testimonies as well for your changes. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. See, all of God's word is already, there's yes written all over it. All you and I need to do is agree to it and say amen. He's waiting for the amen to happen. Then he will empower this word to be able to work inside your life. Hallelujah. My message this morning is about truth. I can't stop talking about truth because truth really, truly set us free. Jesus said to his disciples, John chapter 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set or make you free. Jesus never said you shall hear the truth. He said you shall know the truth. The knowing comes from deep within the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you the knowledge of the Word of God. You can sit here and listen until the cows come home and not hear anything. If you don't allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, if you don't go and do the studying yourself, if you don't go and sit down, read the Bible, pray and ask the Holy Spirit, teach me about these things. Teach me what you're saying. Hallelujah. Jesus never said just hearing truth. He says you shall know the truth. This knowing comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from reading, studying the Word, and researching the Word, and allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal the hidden treasures of the Word of God to you. Hallelujah. There are no shortcuts in life, my friends. This narrow road has not been widened over the centuries. Still narrow. No accumulation of knowledge or experience of good works can add another lane to this road. Amen. You cannot widen this road. This is not our option. Hallelujah. This is the one and only road that God calls all men to walk on that road. Now, man is speaking to spirit. If you don't understand the Bible, every time God talks and mentions man in the Bible, he's addressing the spirit, not the gender. Amen? Amen? That means you women sitting in there, you are also man. You're the spirit. The only difference is you carry a womb. That's why you call a womb man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Same spirit, different functions. Amen? Amen? That's the only road that God wants all men to walk. Widening the road is simply not an option available to us. There is no option of widening this road available to any of us here today. But there is another option that he has given us, and that is the Holy Spirit. What is available is the Spirit of Truth, which is available to those who desire to walk in truth. You got to be desiring this thing. You need to be passionate about it. You cannot just live casual lives expecting things to happen for you. God has done the work. Jesus has gone on the cross, finished the work, done everything. You can't sit there and say, God has done everything and I don't have to do anything anymore. Yes, you do. You have an obligation to abide by his word and walk in his precepts and his principles. Hallelujah. Grace, I say it so many times, is to bring you out of darkness into the kingdom. When you're in the kingdom, see the grace of God. I have a good teaching on grace. I'm telling you, it'll blow your mind. It'll give you a more perspective of what grace is. We use half of this message of grace and give it to the people. When you give people the full message of grace, you will start to understand both sides of God and not just one side of God. God has no greater joy than this, to see his children walking in truth. Amen? The day that God consecrated the Levites for his service was the day Moses came down from the mount and found all Israel living in debauchery and idolatry. The day that God was consecrating the Levites was the day Moses came down from the mountain. Exodus chapter 32, verse 26 to 27. And listen to what Moses said. When Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is of the Lord, or whoever is on the Lord's side, he says, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. A small remnant, the Bible says, came to join him. A small what? Remnant. Get that into your head. Remnant of people came. Hallelujah. They had to make a choice whether to eat, to drink, to sleep and rise up and do things of the world or to follow the Lord. Just Joshua stood up and says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua never spoke on behalf of the church or behalf of Israel or behalf of everybody. He says, just me and my family, my house. We're going to serve God. All of us need to make that statement in our lives. Hallelujah. They had to make a choice. Hallelujah. Again, it's all about the remnant. To those who joined him, Moses said in verse 27, he said to them, thus says the Lord, God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. Hallelujah. Thank God for grace. And we must still do this work today in the Spirit. Because our battle is against not flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of high places. We must still put our swords on our side and go out and deal with those situations that are still inside the camp. Hallelujah. How much do we love truth? Is it enough to ruthlessly put on the sword and go in out of the camp? Enough to go in out of our homes, our own marriages, our own congregation, our own thought life, to slay everything that is untrue? That's what our job. We need to slay anything that is untrue and that is not from God. Put on your sword, go in there and do the job. Hallelujah. If you love truth, if you love your family enough to tell them the truth, then go and tell them the truth. Hallelujah. Don't back off from anybody. Your family comes first, and you need to know that. Such a process, always loving, is often very painful. Yes. The first people who came to Christ, when I came to Christ, was my family. They didn't like it, but the Holy Ghost was there. My brother rebelled against me forever. He was my closest friend until I came to Christ. And his whole family came to Christ, and he hated me for that thing. We're friends now, but I'm not sure where he is at the moment. Hallelujah. You love the truth, you got to do something that needed done. Amen? I love you all enough to speak straight. And if you're offended, we don't have offense in this church. Let me just remind you. If you're offended, check your heart first and then go to God. Amen? Amen? Don't come to me. I'm only speaking his word. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. The Bible says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And it says, walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Amen. The way of knowing a tree has not changed. You still know the tree by the fruits. Jesus said, you shall know them by the fruits. If the Spirit of truth is the sap and the life of the tree, then the fruits must be what? Trueness of life. I spoke about that, I think, in the first part of this message. Let me just use this principle to bring what the Holy Spirit is trying to bring here this morning. Every one of us who have driven a car, I saw that and I thought, wow, that's powerful. Have experienced approaching an intersection, right? And we see a stop sign. And, you know, we have a choice of slowing down, glancing both ways, and then choosing to stop or slowly glide through. And this is what we always say. The sign says stops, but does it really mean stop? Because stopping is an inconvenience to our life. Hello, somebody. Yes. It's a waste of petrol. It's a waste of brake linings. And time too. And just so inconvenient to stop at the stop sign. When you come to the stop sign, you have that option of going and then just slide through and just keep going. It's not a giveaway sign. It's a stop sign. Amen. S-T-O-P. Stop. Okay? But most of us will come through there, and I am guilty of that sometimes. Not anymore. Praise the Lord. Holy Ghost. We'll come to a stop sign and then we say, there's nobody there, so I'll just keep going. That's a dangerous thing. You see, stopping it's so inconvenient. It requires going against the momentum of the car. You're sitting in there going, why would I stop? If it's clear, I'll just keep going. So we don't stop. We make true relative to our own judgment and to our own needs. Listen very carefully. We make truth become relative to our own judgment and to our own needs. And we say, it says stop, but doesn't really mean stop. You can just look to the side and just slow down, pretending that it's you're about to stop, and then just take off. Most of you do that today. Don't sit there and look all so holy to me. All right? See, I admit I used to do it. And all of you say, whoa, pastor. Yeah, and you too. And we wonder why the Spirit seemed to be absent from our lives. Hello, somebody. The devil used the same principle. What happens when we become like he in the garden, examining the fruit before us more closely and determining that it is good for food, beautiful to the eye, able to make one wise? But God says what? Do not eat. But does he really mean that? That's what the devil says. He says what he really means is, and he adds something on there. God says, don't eat. But does he really mean that? The sign says, stop. But does it mean that? Now, I'm bringing this to you to bring through this, to explain something. It's happening around the world, and it's creeping into the church. Ethical relativism. You know what that is? I'll tell you what it is. It is a doctrine that there are no absolute truths in ethics, And that there is morally right or wrong, and it varies from a person to person or from society to society. This is what has been now creeping into the church today. It's a gray area, and gray areas are dangerous to your life. The kingdom of God is black or white. There is no gray area. But the world is using the gray area now, and that gray area is seeping slowly into the church. Hallelujah. Friends, this doctrine Satan used to tempt Eve in the garden, and it is the doctrine that is in the world today. The catchphrases like, that may be true to you, but not for me. You hear that all the time? And then he said, and things like, it all depends on how you look at it. In the world, nothing is black and white. There's a lot of gray areas there. Therefore, adultery, just like beauty, is reduced to the function of the beholder's eyes. That's why Jesus said, if you just, look, you're already committing adultery. But the world says we can look. That's what the world says. You can look, it's okay. It doesn't hurt anybody, just look. Jesus says, if you only look, then you are about to commit adultery. You've already committed adultery. Everything is reduced down to something else. Homosexuality is reduced to an alternate lifestyle. That's what the world is doing. And the worst thing is they're bringing it into the church. Hello, somebody. Yeah. All values and judgments dissolve into a pervasive grayness. There's nothing to judge correctly anymore. It's all okay. The way you think, it's the way you think. Do you realize that those principles, that this doctrine is placed before you every day when you wake up in the morning? Every day. When you send your kids to school, those doctrines are being preached in schools today. This gray area is very dangerous and fatal to the truth of God. Mixing of right and wrong, white and black, light and dark, it is happening in churches. And we Christians use grace to cover all that. That's why grace is, if you don't understand grace, you will do things like that inside your church. Hallelujah. God is light, and there is no darkness in him. God's first words spoken over a chaotic creation were what? Let there be light. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. He separated light from darkness, and darkness cannot mix, neither can truth or lie can mix. We have to separate ourselves from these things. The devil is good at covering up little things and say, it's okay. People use all these things that are not of the Bible or not biblical or not of God, and they tag it with some scripture and say, we are using this because it's bringing people to God. For example, yoga. Yoga is a spiritual, powerful thing. If you're into this, you need to get out of that. Because nowhere in the Bible does it tell me to do yoga to get closer to God. Amen, somebody. They say, we are just going to empty ourselves. Empty ourselves from what? And what else are you putting inside? You can empty yourself of the spirit, but what spirit are you putting inside that emptiness? The Bible says when Jesus cleaned up this man, the vessel was so clean that the devil went out, the demons went out and came back and found the house so clean they came back and live in it. These are some of the things that we need to really look at now. We must pray with our eyes open and see what's creeping into the church. Hallelujah. And it's just not my job to watch over these things. It's your job too. You are a kingdom of God citizen. And that's your job. He separated all that. There is no grayness in the kingdom of God. There's only light and darkness. Nothing else. There's no sitting on the fence. This rubbish of, I'm just sitting on the fence. That's a bad place to be. Hallelujah. Let me just bring another principle, and I want Roger to come. Roger, can you come? I asked him to bring this because Roger, I want you to explain to the people. Where's the microphone? Jen's got it. What this is. For those of you who do not know what that is, let me just bring my brother to explain it.
This is a plumb bob. This is a small one, a very small one. These days, we use levels, and you can plumb a building with instruments. But in days gone by, the plumb bob was a very important part of building, and you had to get a very accurate reading of how plumb your plumb bob was. And the bigger the plumb bob, the better. And the smaller the wire that you hold it with, the better. And to get an accurate reading, sometimes it will be put in a bucket of water so that the wind wouldn't affect it. And you'd get a very accurate reading, and you would plumb your whole building off the line of your plumb bob. I can remember when I was a small boy, I went into a big building, and they had this huge plumb bob. It would have weighed a lot of weight, probably half a human being, and more even a whole small human being. And it was on suspended right the way down this building on a thin piece of wire, and it was a pendulum plumb bob. And the earth's rotation could be seen on that plumb bob because it swung slowly. But anyway, that's what a plumb bob is, and you plumb the whole building off the plumb bob. The bigger the plumb bob, the better.
Amen. That's great. So you get an accurate measurement of a building. So it's not like the Tower of Pisa in Italy. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Is it pizza or pizza?
Pizza.
Pizza. Well, we say pizza. Pizza. Yeah. There must be too much pizza on one side. So it's leaning against the side. Okay, let's get back to it. Praise the Lord. Well, I wanted to bring this illustration to let you know, to tell you this, that God has dropped a plumb line down on Irvine. The truth, absolute righteous, absolute truth. And that plumb line is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen? Everything you do in life, you align yourself to that plumb line. If it's off course, don't say it's okay. I can just keep going there, I'm fine. No, it's not. Align yourself back to that plumb line called Jesus Christ, who is the absolute truth, absolute righteousness, absolute love. There is no approximity in the kingdom of God. There is no approximity in the things that Jesus speaks. He is the truth. In him we move and live and have our being. Acts chapter 7 in verse 28 says, the universe does not have an approximate holding it together. God is not an approximate God. God is absolute righteous. Absolute straight like a plumb bob. And we measure our lives. If your life is not measured to the plumb bob, get it right. Move yourself back into alignment with the truth of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is not approximate truth, the way and the life. That is why he is not popular in the world. He is absolutely holy and true. And let me just say this, terribly inconvenient to a lot of people. Yeah. And it's happening in church. Christians are so, they find Jesus is so inconvenient in certain things they want to do in life. Listen to me. We need to remove that kind of mentality and attitude that there is no fear of God in you to be able to go on and do these things, and using grace, covering it with oh, God's going to forgive me. God's going to forgive me. I'll just go and do it, and God's going to forgive me. We should not be doing these kind of things in this church or any church that you belong to. I don't want you to become part of a church. I want you to become part of what Jesus has been bringing, and that is the truth. Truth of the Word of God. Part of something that belongs to the kingdom. Hallelujah. When he says stop, it does not mean slow down and slide through. When Jesus says stop, it's actually stop. Hello, somebody. He comes full of grace and truth. The spirit of this world hates truth. It prefers its own truth, harmless, docile, and without teeth. Hallelujah. People are preaching words without teeth in the church, And people keep living in sin because it's not biting them in the backside and bringing them back in alignment with God. If you, and I say it all the time, if you're going to have a fellowship, speak truth to the people. Put Jesus in the middle and say, align yourself with it. There is no other way. You cannot widen this road, I have said before. You cannot put another lane to it and say, we're just going to follow this lane because it's easier. This road, this narrow road, is hard. Only the ones that can walk it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And it is rife today in church where people just pleasing people with messages to just, we don't want to upset anyone or we don't want to offend anyone. Listen to me. Preach truth. Bring truth to your families. Bring truth to your people, your friends, whoever it is, your colleagues. Bring truth. Speak truth, and the truth will set them free. Hallelujah. This greatness was conceived by a lie in the beginning. And the serpent, called Satan, said to Eve, you surely shall not die. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. And it lives by its principles to this day. Yes, my friends, read the papers, look at the world, look at what the world is turning to right now. The world is actually fulfilling its sinful nature before our eyes. And it started from the garden. You know, the relief of loneliness justifies adultery and pornography. I'm lonely, so I'll just go and commit adultery. Or what's pornography? That's the relief to justify that. The relief of inconvenience and pain is to commit abortion, to kill the baby, because it's so inconvenient. I have a life to live. I need to go and live a life. Who gave you the right to kill the baby? You never created that baby. That baby was born from God. Jeremiah 1:5. Before you were in your mother's womb. So if you are thinking of abortion, think about what God's word says. He says, before you were in your mother's womb, even before your father and your mother even thought about you, even before whatever happened to you to cause you to become pregnant, even before you think about that, the Bible says, I knew you. God knows the baby even before you do. You are just a vessel that brings forth this baby to fulfill its purpose in God. But God owns the spirit of that baby. So we use this to go against God's word. Christians are doing it, my friends. I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to us who call ourselves Christians in the church. I've heard mothers disowning their daughters because they got pregnant from somewhere. Disowning their children. Christians. And we use that greatness inside the church. The relief of stress. It's inconvenience to us. It justifies abortion. And what perfecting of races caused genocide and all these things that are happening around the world today. That's the world simply fulfilling its sinful nature. But listen to me, my friends. The church was birthed by the word of truth. It is one place on earth where greatness should never be found. I don't care what church it is. Greatness should never be found inside the church. If you are in a church and they've got greatness in that church, I'm telling you, walk out of there. Because God is going to judge the church. Bible says the judgment will begin in the church first before the world. If you are in a church and they're propagating all this stuff, walk out. Jesus said, come out of them, the Bible says. God is light and we are the children of light. The righteous are characterized by their love for light. John chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light. Hallelujah. That his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Hallelujah. I said before, integrity is doing what is right when no one is watching. Amen. We don't just do right when people are watching. We do right when nobody is watching. we still do right. Why? The truth lives in us. The truth has to be manifested. The light banishes every shade of gray. It makes things manifest. The righteous should have no need to dwell in shadows. This outward signs of living in a shadow is a world of partial light should never be found amongst the people of God. There should be no partial grayness in your life. And you cannot do that without the power that lives inside of you. But you know, the sad part is that we still hear the power talking and we still go out and still do it. Because we say, God's going to forgive me because I'm under grace and I'm not under law. You know, God, I better stop here because I'm going to go to another message. The sad truth is this grayness is mark of too far of many of our Christian lives. Our confessions of truth extended only to the boundaries of our self-interest. As long as it does something for my interest, then I'm interested in it. It's self-interest and convenience that we use this grayness in our lives. When it comes to practical issues of our lives and our ministries, we are as relativistic as the world. Hello, somebody. Our knowledge is heavenly, but our wisdom is so worldly. Heavenly wisdom, heavenly knowledge, worldly wisdom. We know the science says stop, but we find a way to justify sliding through it. That's life. The danger is that every time we slide through the stop sign, we pass out of the realm of the spirit of truth and we enter into the domain of the spirit of lies. It is a fine line between truth and lie. The moment you cross it, you will not know that you've crossed it. That's why majority of messages preached in churches, 99% are truth. 1% is the one that gets you all the time. And false teachers and false prophets use that all the time. They bring you 99%. Party you up, pamper you up, get you going. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Then they bring the 1% of false, and you fall right into it. I've seen it happen in churches, destroy churches in one sermon. Hallelujah. The whole earth is going to be shaken, my friends. That includes the church which is upon the earth. Only what which is unshakable, the rock of truth, will remain standing. Are we that church? Ask ourselves this question. That's every one of you. Not just me, the pastor of the church. Every person that comes to this church, ask yourself this question. Are we going to stand when the shaking comes? Because the Bible says the whole world will be shaken. Everything that man planted or founded will be shaken. But listen to Jesus' word. Jesus says, I will build my church. Now, he didn't build a church on Peter the rock. He built a church on the revelation that Peter spoke. When he asked the people, he says, who do men say that I am? Everybody guessed and got it wrong. Oh, some say you Elijah come back. Some say you this. Some say you John the Baptist. And they got it all wrong. And Jesus turned around and looked at the 12. And he says, okay, guys, I've been with you for 3.5 years. Who do you say that I am? And Peter stood up and said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, Peter was expecting a big, hey, hooray, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Jesus said, Peter, that revelation did not come from you. It came from my Father who is in heaven. In other words, the Holy Ghost gave you that revelation about me. And then he says, and on that revelation that I am Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. Not on some pope, not on some saint, not on some person, not even on Peter. It is on the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Nothing less, nothing more. Hallelujah. That's why we must align ourselves with that plumb bob, the true line of truth. Hallelujah. Can I say to you, please, if something cannot be spoken in the light, if it requires veiling, suggestions, some sort of shadowy covering, then let me say to you this. That something should not be preached. That something should not be spoken. If it needs some kind of covering and veiling and some kind of hyper thing to go with it, don't preach it. Don't say it. Shut up. It's our favorite word in this church. Shut up. Don't say anything. Amen? There is an alternative to manipulating things. You want to know what it is? It's called trusting God. It's called trusting the Spirit that lives in you. Speaking truth is trusting God. It is always an act of faith. I am speaking right here by faith. I'm trusting God that what I speak to you is truth for you to receive this morning. Amen? Trust God for what you speak. Don't build it up in your own mind to come and try and hyper up people. Speak what is true. Trust God. Have faith in what He's going to release. And He will do all the hard lifting, we call it. All the power lifting and all the bench press and all the push-ups and all the heavy lifting stuff. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Your job and my job is to obey Him and speak the truth. Hallelujah. If we cannot be moved to give or to repent or to give or to trust God or do anything by the undone truth, then let us not be moved at all. We should not be moved. We have a saying in PNG. But it's a funny saying, but probably most of you won't get it. But it just comes along this line where if you can't do it, then don't do it at all. If you cannot speak truth, then don't speak truth. From Jesus' own mouth came the definition of a true Israelite. John chapter 1, verse 47. When Jesus walked up and He saw Nathanael coming around toward Him and said to him, this is from Jesus' mouth now, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Oh, hallelujah. Can Jesus look at you and say, "Behold"? Can He say the same thing He said to Nathanael to you and to me? Can He say the same thing He said to Nathanael to the church that He built? Hallelujah. He says, "Behold." Now there's a man, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." I love Nathanael. Remember what he said when they went there and they said, "Hey, Nathanael, we found the Messiah. And, you know, He's from Nazareth." And Nathanael said, "What good can come out of that place?" That's straight. I love people that are, what you see is what you get. There's no hidden agenda about what he said. He just said it. It reminds me of my own son, Nathanael. He just says things. Gets himself in trouble all the time. Even to his teachers, he just says things. Whatever comes to his heart, boom, he says it. And all his friends say, "Nathanael doesn't have any filter in his mouth. He just says it." And I said, "That's good, because he's saying the truth. He's not pretending to say something. Whatever he feels in his heart, he's saying it right to you. So whether you like it or not, that's truth coming out." Hallelujah. Don't pamper up the word of God to try and please people. Speak truth. That's why Jesus looked at Nathanael and says, "Behold, a true Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no," in other translations it says guile, "no deceit." There is no falseness about this person. What you see is what you get. You can read him by the book, by the cover of that book. You can just read it. And you can see inside of him as well. There's nothing hidden in this man. Can Jesus say that to you and I and to the church that we belong? The choice to walk in truth is a choice to take up your cross and follow Him daily. It's a choice. We need to take up our cross and follow Him, because the choice between truth and lie, between integrity and inconvenience, is put before us repeatedly every day. The moment you get up, have breakfast, that greatness is before you every day. That relativity or relativism or whatever you want to call it, it's there every day. It's placed before you. It's the sin of the Garden of Eden, and the devil uses it every day, before us every day. How many years you're a Christian, 20, 40, 60 years, 100 years, I don't care. That is still placed before you. The choices. We need to take up the cross daily and follow Him. It is as frequent and as significant as a stop sign. But until we resolve to come to full stop, to become absolute about truth and integrity, instead of seeking the minimum amount where we can just get by our lives, we will never see the true fulfillment of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Not even in the church. I long to see the Holy Spirit move powerfully, like the days of Charles Finney, like the days of those amazing men that spoke truth. Nothing. They didn't care about life or what people say about them. They spoke. And they spoke believing the word, and God empowered the truth with the power of the Holy Spirit. Transformed people's lives, and the greatest revivals broke because of these men. I long to see that again. And I know it's coming. That's why I begin this message by saying, let's prepare. A vision and passion. Our prayer life. Our personal prayer life and our combined prayer life must come up. Amen? Hallelujah. Listening. God does not offer just enough grace to get us by. His forgiveness when we fall short is absolute, as the goal is set for you and I. Everything about God is absolute. His forgiveness and His goal is set for you. When you fall, He picks you up and says, keep going. Keep going. He will finish the good work that He has started in your life. What a promise. As long as we align ourselves with the true line that we call plumb bob, Jesus, and walk in that place. Freedom from condemnation and despair comes from aiming higher, not low. You don't aim low, you go high all the time. I love, someone said something to me, he says, you know, if you aim for the moon and if you miss it, you're among the stars anyway. I love that. Just go for the moon, and if you miss it, you're among the stars. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Spirit is poured out without measure upon those who are wholeheartedly in their devotion to truth. My friends, walk in truth. Pull yourself together. Young people, there are so many things preached to you nowadays. There's so many things on YouTube. There's so many things that your school or your school teacher is bringing to you. You know, my son is so straightforward, I'm sometimes afraid. He walked past a flag that was raised up higher than the Aboriginal flag and the Australian flag. And there was this pride flag that was above that. And he walked past and says, that's going to come down one day. He looked at it and just said that. And I went, man, I just hope nobody heard you. He is so straightforward. That's why his name is Nathaniel. Be like Nathaniel. We need more Nathaniels inside the church. If we have Nathans in the church last week to deal with sin inside people's lives, in the king's life, then we need Nathaniels to walk inside the church. Amen? Be a Nathaniel. You can do it. Jesus said, be holy, for I am holy. And we go, Papa, how do you? Yes, shut up and just be holy. Why? You have the Holy Ghost inside of you. The Holy Spirit is holy. That holiness becomes you. Just obey Him and walk in that place. I want to close by saying this. How are we and how is the world going to recognize the people who are living in all the truth of the gospel? Not just some of the truth, but all of the truth. How will people know that we are indeed the children of the King? Is it not going to be seen? And let me just say this. It is not going to be seen by how highly we exalt ourselves. Hello, somebody. It is not going to be seen by how the size of our ministry and our wealth. It is not going to be seen by how many people is attending our church. No. Those things doesn't tell you that the church is on fire for God. Hello, somebody. You think a big church is on fire for God? You'll be surprised the greatness inside the church. That's why I always say, I'm not interested in a big church. I'm interested in people that are Nathaniels inside the church. People that are true to their walk and what they say. The only sign that they will see is the only sign that we are in truth and in one is that we have this attitude of Christ inside of us. That's the only way they will know that this is the church that is true. that we abide by all his commandments, not because of anything, but because we love him and we worship him and we honor him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambitions or conceit, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's how people see that we are disciples of Jesus. Getting rid of such motives from the heart will instantly make you become true, because lying and deceit would have no grounds left in your heart. Leave no space for the devil. Amen. Don't have a foothold in your heart. You can come and worship here, and God's saying, yeah, but you still got something that doesn't belong to me. Get rid of it. God is not going to do it for you. You need to voluntarily come and say, God, get rid of this for me. I release it to you to get rid of it. If you love it, you'll keep it. He'll say, you can have it. God will not come and take anything away from you until you say you hate it. You don't want it anymore. Then he will take it, gladly take it off you. Amen. You may be sitting here and saying, but Pastor, how do I go about obeying his word when temptations towards selfishness and conceit are so powerful, ever present? Well, I got one thing to say to you. You have the Holy Spirit. And the more you go through that stop sign, I'm saying, the more you keep disobeying the word stop, you will enter into a realm of the Spirit of truth. Crossing over, you won't even know that you've entered into the spirit of lies. It's a dangerous place. That's why the conviction of the Holy Ghost must be strong in your heart. If you hear it, then do it. The more you start to obey the conviction, the more it becomes part of your life. It's so easy to do it. Because he'll speak to you clearly. Back up and do it again. That's what you hear all the time. That's what I hear the Spirit say all to me. Back up and say it again. Back up and do it again. That's not right. All these things. It makes you think and going, wow, that's the Holy Spirit guiding you through. That is why Paul goes on to say in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence. Hallelujah. And then he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Fear and trembling should be really, it should really heighten our sensitivity in the spirit. It should heighten our sensitivity to obey stop signs, the spiritual stop signs that I'm talking about. It is not a giveaway sign. You've got to understand this. When it says stop, it's stop. Isaiah, I love Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to finish with this message. You know, knowing that God is willing and doing what pleases himself should cause us all the more to tremble and to fear him. Bring the fear of God back into your life. Taking communion, little things like that. If your life is not right, ask God, Father, I'm sorry. I've done something wrong. I need to go back and ask for forgiveness. The Bible says if you come here and offer your worship to me and you remember that your brother has something against you, he says, leave your offering here. Then go back. Ask for forgiveness. Get it all sorted out. Put some burning coals on his head. That's what you do when you forgive someone. The Bible says you put burning coals on the head. Come back, and I will accept your worship. Let our worship be true. Let our prayers and our praise be true before God. Not just pretending. Amen? There's no pretense in the kingdom of God. Let me just finish reading Isaiah chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. And with two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And then Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having his hand in a live coal, which he had taken with the thongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell his people. Make the heart of his people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes lest they see their eyes, and hear with their ears, hallelujah, and understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitants. The houses are without a man. Our land is utterly desolated. The Lord has removed man from far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. Verse 13, it says, But yet a tent will be in it, and will return and be for consuming, as a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump. Hallelujah. This is the word of the Lord to me when I was praying on Saturday. And God wants us to be like that. Isaiah is a man of unclean lips, but it only took the washing of that lip by the touch of God to restore him back. And what he saw was that God was holy. And then what he saw was that he was a sinner. And then what he saw was that there's a need to God and tell the truth to the people. Let us become like Isaiah. That's a powerful, powerful scripture. And when I read that, every time I read that, I feel the presence of the power of God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm done. And I want to pray before we go. I want you to stand up. I know that the word of God has gone forth. But I'm going to pray and I'm going to close the service. But if you need some prayer later and you want to come and talk to me or have some questions, please don't hesitate to come and do it. I just wanted to pray for God's word that is in your heart right now. Thank you, Lord. Papa God, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word has been released, Lord, to your people. And I pray that there is fertile ground, oh God, in their hearts today. Jesus, you said, let him who have ears hear what the Spirit is saying. God, I thank you that you have watched over your word to fulfill it in every person's life today. Even all our little ones that are here this morning, that are listening. God, their spirit is so pure today that they are able to receive your word and understand. I pray, Holy Ghost, not only just watch over that word, but empower it, oh God. Ignite it in our spirit that, Lord, cause us to be restless in thinking about these things every day of our lives. When we get up, when we sleep, when we get up, when we walk around. Like Joshua said, like you said to Joshua, meditate on this word. And that word should never depart from our lips, oh God. Father, I pray that this church and those who are visiting us today will receive something that is of importance, God, to understand that their salvation is so important that we must always walk in that place of holiness and righteousness before you, because that's respect towards you, Papa God. And Father, I pray now that you watch over your people, that as they go out, they will believe the truth and they will obey every sign in the Spirit that says stop. I pray that you will cause them to understand that you will cause them to be restless when it comes to making decisions, oh God, in a crossroad. Father, you have placed signs, your word says. And you've said to us, when you get to the crossroads, look for the sign. Yeah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that these people, our people today, all our families here this morning, those who are watching on live stream, will become people that will always watch for the stop sign, will watch for the signs that you've already placed before us. I pray your power over the word today and over the lives of your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, team.